Do you know anyone who struggles with integrity? Is that an issue for you occasionally? Today on the Wisdom Journey, we'll look at Paul's defense against false accusations in 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul faced critics who doubted his integrity and questioned his motives. He responds by pointing to his genuine ministry and transparent life. Stephen Davey opens God's Word with a lesson for you called Leading Without Pretending.
You might be surprised that over 50% of people in one survey admitted to having lied on their resume or job application. Some of the most common lies involved work experience, even academic degrees. I read some time ago of the president of a university who was discovered to have lied about her own education. She had never earned a PhD, after all. I've read of politicians and celebrities who've been exposed for recounting military service they never performed, claiming medals they never earned, even telling tales about things that never happened, just to make themselves look better. This practice has even taken on a name. It's called stolen valor. See, all these people use deception to try to gain some advantage in their career or to simply impress other people. I can't imagine how people live like that, always afraid of being discovered for who they really are. They're pretending, they're living a lie, which means they're going to have to tell more lies and then remember those lies in order to cover them up by telling even more lies. My missionary father used to tell us boys that if you just tell the truth, you won't have to remember everything you said. So just keep telling the truth. Well, as we set sail here into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is responding to accusations that he wasn't telling the truth, that he had something to hide, perhaps. The apostle is going to respond by simply telling the truth about his past ministry among them. And frankly, he has nothing to hide. He begins here in verse 1, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." In other words, their work in Thessalonica hadn't been a waste of time. And the Thessalonians knew this, by the way. They were personal witnesses to the change that had come in their own lives through the ministry of Paul. Paul then reminds them here in verse 2 that he's already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi. Now, Paul wasn't looking for a comfortable life. In fact, Paul goes on to counter the accusation that he was impurely motivated in his ministry. He writes here in verse 3, "Our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive." See, there were people accusing Paul of wanting to gather a personal following. So he diluted his teaching. He just told people what they wanted to hear. Well, beloved, there are a lot of preachers doing that in every generation, but Paul wasn't one of them. And he settles the score now here in verses 5 and 6. "We never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." In other words, Paul says, you know, I could have created a following because I'm an apostle. I could have pushed my weight around. I could have gotten better treatment. Instead, Paul reminds them here in verse 7 of his past ministry. He says, "I was gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." In other words, his ministry was characterized by patience and selflessness and love as Paul and his missionary team cared for these people. I know of a gifted pastor who became rather famous. Near the end of his ministry, a large church approached him to become their pastor teacher, and he agreed on one condition. He said he was tired of people, and he would agree to become the pastor of the church if he would never have to meet with people again. Sadly, if you can believe it, the church agreed. So for the next few years, he would show up to preach, and then he would go and wait in his office or in a classroom until all the people had left. His ministry legacy was tarnished as a result of that decision. Well, Paul isn't tarnishing his legacy, and he certainly isn't avoiding people. He describes a ministry here that every pastor, every church leader should model. He says it this way in verse 8. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God. Paul is saying we were not only ready to preach our sermons to you, he goes on, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Let me tell you, I know a lot of preachers today who love to preach. Paul is saying here that he loves the people to whom he preaches, and that's a world of difference. Now in verse 9, Paul says, remember our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. Now, this review and reminder make it clear that there's no reason at all why the Thessalonians should be persuaded by troublemakers that Paul and his missionary team were not genuine servants of God. He summarizes their ministry history here in verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. Now, Paul isn't saying here that he was perfect. He's simply saying that he and the missionary team had dedicated themselves to conforming their lifestyles to a holy standard. They wanted to live in a blameless manner. Let me tell you, they didn't want anybody to be able to level a legitimate accusation against them. They didn't want to be like that university president who never earned a PhD, or the military veteran who pretended to have earned the Medal of Honor. These Thessalonians know by now that Paul was not a pretender. Now with that, Paul changes his analogy from that of an affectionate mother to that of a caring father. Here in verses 11 and 12, Paul focuses on three actions a caring father will perform in the lives of his children. First, he writes here in verse 11, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you. In other words, he made sincere appeals to them to live in a certain way. Second, Paul writes, we encouraged you. The word encouraged here can be translated comforted. So Paul is like a gracious father who puts his arms around his children and encourages them along the way. Third, Paul says, we charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. Now, the word for charge here means to urge. So Paul is, he's like a coach who tells his players to give it everything they've got out there on the playing field. And let me tell you, beloved, Paul's words here describe a model not only for church leaders, but for parents. As caring mothers, gracious fathers, we're going to be appealing, exhorting, encouraging our children at home. And we ought to be doing the same thing for our brothers and sisters in Christ. This was Paul's ministry. And by the way, he wasn't interested in patting himself on the back. He writes here in verse 13, we also thank God constantly that when you received the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God. You see, with that, Paul makes sure that God receives all the glory. Now, Paul adds a rather severe warning to false teachers who are going to harm the flock of God. He writes here in verse 16, they are hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Well, Paul is warning them here that they're going to experience the wrath of God. So here in this chapter, Paul answers accusations against his ministry. He's able to defend himself by pointing to the reality of his ministry history, his ministry among them. And Paul isn't pretending. He isn't wearing fake medals on his uniform or fake degrees hanging on his wall. See, the truth is, Paul isn't interested in wearing ribbons and medals. He's not pretending to be a spiritually minded leader. He's truly interested in other people. And all you had to do was check out his past record. What do you find? Well, Paul is interested in building these believers up in the faith, and ultimately, he's interested in giving God the glory. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. Paul's ministry in Thessalonica was marked by genuine care and transparent living. He wasn't interested in gaining a personal following through deceit or flattery. Instead, he modeled a ministry of selfless love, encouragement, and integrity. As you reflect on Paul's example, commit to leading without pretending. Be genuine in your relationships and faithful in your service to Christ. Remember, people are watching your life. Did you know that Stephen's commitment to equipping God's people extends beyond this wisdom journey? He founded and leads Shepherd's Theological Seminary, a place where men and women are trained for impactful service in their churches and communities worldwide. STS graduates are making a difference everywhere, from planting new churches to leading existing congregations and serving in various ministry roles. Their education equips them with the understanding of Scripture, theology, and practical ministry skills. If you or someone you know feels called to pastoral ministry, STS offers an incredible opportunity. Qualified men can receive a full scholarship to pursue their Master of Divinity degree, as long as they commit to studying full-time in Cary, North Carolina, and graduate within 3 years. This unique program removes financial barriers and allows future pastors to focus on their studies and calling. But STS isn't just for aspiring pastors. Anyone eager to deepen their biblical and theological knowledge can benefit from these courses. The school offers both online and in-person options, making it convenient for you to study at your own pace and location. If you prefer a classroom setting, we have campuses in Cary, North Carolina, Laramie, Wyoming, and Bryan, Texas. Additionally, we offer local church clusters in various cities. Those include Birmingham, Alabama, and Lincoln, Nebraska, where students can gather and learn together. Visit wisdomonline.org/STS to learn more about our programs, scholarships, and how you can become part of the STS community. Join us back here next time on this Wisdom Journey.